This is a Discovery Channel podcast.
It was supposed to be a pleasant weekend of fishing for five old friends on the Zambezi River. But when an angry hippo strikes the boat from below, this outing quickly turns into a primal fight for survival. Thrown into crocodile-infested waters, the five become live bait for some of Africa's deadliest predators. As one of them goes it alone, risking life and limb to try to find help, the others try to stay alive.
Oh my God.
What it takes to survive on I Shouldn't Be Alive. Zambia, one of the wildest areas of Africa, home to the spectacular Victoria Falls. They're fed by the mighty Zambezi River, which runs through six countries and divides Zambia from Zimbabwe. The Zambezi is a haven for Africa's wildlife. It's here on one of the river's most remote stretches that two friends have planned a weekend fishing trip. Arthur Taylor and Alistair Galatly have known each other for 25 years.
Our kids have grown up together with Alistair. Basically, Alistair's part of the family. He's a very good guy in a crisis and a very good friend.
We've known each other a while. We've spent a lot of time together. We go fishing a lot.
Where do you want the fish bait?
Usual place.
As experienced safari guides, they've lived and worked alongside the Zambezi for most of their lives.
I can't wait to get on the water.
Joining them are Arthur's English wife, Faye, and her parents, Clive and Brenda. They're on vacation, visiting from England. Faye suspects her mother is a bit nervous about going on the fishing trip.
My mum was anxious because she doesn't really like going on the boat. And she would rather have just spent the day in camp.
Hello, love. Change your mind yet?
No, I think I'll just stay here and relax and read my book.
Go on. I'm not going to go if you don't go. I can't leave you here by yourself.
Because it was the last day of the holiday, she finally agreed to come with us.
Okay, all aboard.
This stretch of the 1,600-mile-long Zambezi is one of the wildest and most remote.
The Zambezi is just a fantastic river. It's amazing. And it is so diverse.
Famous for its abundance of crocodiles and hippos, it's also teeming with birds, elephants, and lions.
It was all very relaxed atmosphere, very carefree. Nobody had a worry in the world.
You want to try catch some fish, Brenda?
Oh, no, I'm not good at that.
Come on.
Come on, it's easy.
We passed so many schools of hippos, and they're all lazing around. They just look so peaceful and so placid.
Most of them are in herds or groups, and then you get the few odd single males. As long as you give them a wide berth, the chances are you're not going to have any problem.
Oh, I think I've got something here.
Well done, ma'am.
I think that calls for a spot of celebratory lunch. Come on over there, nice bit of shade by those trees.
Sounds good to me.
What's the time?
There was no warning.
Brenda!
Faye's mother, Brenda, can't swim.
Brenda!
The group has crossed the path of a rogue hippo. Faye's father, Clive, is also struggling.
Brenda! He's coming!
It was just this huge boom, and that was it. I was in the water. I think my subconscious was saying, this is it, this is the end. It was only when I actually was pulled back to the surface and gasping for air that suddenly then the reality of what had actually happened hit me.
They've survived the hippo attack, but now they're in even greater peril. They've capsized in one of the most crocodile-infested rivers in the world.
To think about, you know, my bare, dangly legs, it sent a chill through me, thinking that any moment now, one of us would be taken by a crocodile.
Clive Kelly has just watched his wife, daughter, son-in-law, and friend sucked underwater. He has no idea if they are alive or dead.
Brenda! Brenda! Where are you? Brenda!
Brenda, Faye, Alistair, and Arthur have surfaced under the boat. Besides the crocodiles, the water now poses another danger, the current.
The current is actually so strong in that part of the river that it actually swept us out from underneath the boat.
Brenda is beginning to panic.
Brenda gone swim very well. She was screaming and struggling.
She obviously needed something to hold on to, and she had swallowed a lot of water and was gasping for air and kind of pushed onto me so that she could get her breath back. And I'm like, you know, Mum, you know, you're pushing me down.
Oh, Brenda, I've got you.
Alistair and Clive manage to hold on to the boat, but the others are swept away by the current.
Arthur, Brenda and Faye were drifting downstream.
Alistair and Clive watch helplessly as Arthur and the women fight against the current.
Clive and I couldn't do much. We sat on the boat and we watched them.
I had no idea where we were going. All I knew was that we were being swept away.
The current was really, really strong and was just sweeping us down. We were trying to make our way to shallow waters. We knew it was our only hope of survival.
No one has the strength to make it to shore, but just as they're beginning to give up...
It's a sandbag!
Arthur stumbles on a shallow ledge. Although it's in the middle of the river, at least now, they'll stop drifting.
The first thing I did is start vomiting because I swallowed half a Zambezi.
Alistair has seen his friends struggle against the current. He knows Clive would find it virtually impossible to make it to the sandbank.
Clive can hardly swim, so it was difficult because he couldn't say, hey, swim over to the sandbank or do this or do that. We just had to sit down and settle down.
But Arthur, Faye and Brenda aren't much better off. They're sitting ducks for crocodile attacks, and Alistair knows it. Alistair decides to act.
Arthur! I'm going to swim to that bank and get help!
Don't risk it up!
Both men know that Alistair is literally playing a game of Russian roulette by jumping into the water. Every year, hundreds of people die of crocodile attacks on this river, and every 20 feet along the bank lurks a crocodile.
He's crazy.
It was quite fast water. I started swimming slowly, just I was a bit scared that splashing around the crocs would attract crocodiles.
The river is full of crocodiles and very huge crocodiles.
Crocodiles are natural-born killers. Their skin is covered with thousands of bumps containing nerve endings. These are highly sensitive pressure receptors that can detect the slightest movement in the water from as far away as 300 feet. With the ability to move at up to 40 feet a second, they can swiftly pounce on their targeted prey. Now Alistair is struggling against the current. It's dragging him further and further downriver.
I was probably swept down 300-400 meters. I was pretty tired by then. I saw a little inlet up ahead, so I paddled into the inlet.
Out of sight of the others, Alistair finally reaches the safety of the riverbank.
As my feet touched the ground, I looked up. About 10 yards away, there was this crocodile in the water just looking at me.
But he's just come face to face with one of Africa's greatest killers.
It was scary. I didn't quite know what to do. I think I actually panicked. I decided the best thing to do is try to go for the crocodile and maybe chase it.
It's a potentially suicidal decision.
I went under the water just to try to see where the croc was. As I started to go towards the croc, it came for me. It was going for my legs, and I pushed it away with my left hand. Its teeth cut my left hand up a bit, and it disappeared. It was a really hard smack in my back. It just latched straight onto my arm. It was just trying to really tear my arm off.
Alistair is trapped in a death roll. A spinning maneuver used by crocodiles to drown and dismember their prey.
I was getting pretty weak. I thought it was over. I really did. I couldn't see any way of getting out of it.
Alistair knows there's only one thing that might save him.
I took my left arm and tried to get it inside the crocodile's jaw.
Alistair is trying to push open a flap that keeps water out of the crocodile's lungs. He manages to break the seal. Water rushes in, threatening to drown the crocodile.
The second I did that, once I got my other fingers inside the mouth, it let go.
Oh, oh, oh.
Alistair's quick thinking enables him to survive the attack.
I was pretty scared I was going into shock. I was very weak. I lost a lot of blood.
All he can do to stem the blood flow is to make a tourniquet from his shirt. Arthur, Faye, and Brenda lost sight of Alistair the moment he was swept into the inlet. They have no idea that he's been attacked by a crocodile.
I distinctly heard him shouting, "Oh my God, oh my God." And we just thought he was exhausted and was just kind of relieved that he'd got to the other side.
I'm here! I've been nailed by a croc!
Oh God.
It was just such a terrible feeling. We weren't sure whether he'd lost an arm or a leg or where he'd been bitten.
Where? How bad? How bad are you hurt?
It's the news they feared the most.
We weren't sure if he was going to make it through even the next hour, let alone the next day.
Alistair! Alistair!
Arthur, what the hell are you doing?
I'm going for help.
I walked towards the Zimbabwe side of the river to see if we could swim across there.
He just went deeper and deeper into the water, and I just had these images of him being taken by a crocodile, and I couldn't handle that.
Don't go! Don't be stupid!
Alistair's too hurt. He could die.
Well, you're not going to help him if you get yourself eaten, are you?
On the bank, there were several crocodiles laying there, so I wasn't about to jump in over there. And so I decided to return.
He realised that it was impossible. Every 10, 20 metres, there's a crocodile lying on the bank of the river. It's just hopeless. The whole situation was just hopeless.
Bleeding badly, Alistair knows he needs to get away from the crocodile-infested water. He summons up all his energy and with a massive effort gets back on his feet.
The sun was pretty hot and there was one tree in this pile of rocks that I went and I sat under to try and sort my arm out.
Alistair's shoulder has been ripped from its socket. His arm has been broken in three places beneath the elbow. Worse, the crocodile's teeth have driven deadly bacteria deep into his flesh. Alistair is still in shock. And now his body's natural painkillers are beginning to wear off. He's feeling the full force of his injuries. The slightest movement is now agony. Clive is stranded in the middle of the river. He's been clinging onto the boat for 6 hours. On the sandbank, everyone is anxious about him.
He can't stay there. He left to swim to us.
The boat is beginning to sink.
Dad! You're gonna have to swim over to us!
Righto!
Clive knows he'll have to swim for it, even though the current is incredibly strong, and they all know that the chance of him being attacked by a crocodile is very high.
It was just such an awful experience to watch, and terrifying, not knowing at any moment when he was going to be taken by a crocodile.
Alistair has already been attacked by a crocodile while attempting to go for help. And now Clive, trying to reach the others on the sandbank, could be next. The boat he is holding on to is sinking, and he has to make a move.
Come on!
Clive isn't a strong swimmer, and against this current, he's really struggling.
Although he was swimming as much as he could towards us.
That's it, Dad!
The current was against him, and he was just going further and further away.
Oh, God.
A crocodile could take him at any moment.
Come on, Clive!
Yes.
It seemed to take forever.
Great! Keep at it! Come on! Yeah, okay, I got you!
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you what a relief that was, that my dad was alive and had made it.
On shore, only a few hundred yards away, Alistair is in agony. His wound is becoming a poisonous time bomb. Bacteria from the crocodile's bite has entered his bloodstream. He's now in danger of developing gangrene.
Gangrene is pretty serious. A friend of mine, he got chewed by a lion. You know, he got to hospital within 8 hours, but he still lost his leg.
But it's more than 8 hours since Alistair was attacked. He's in very real danger of losing his arm, if not his life.
It's a terrible feeling knowing that somebody is lying, bleeding to death, and that you are unable to do anything about it. I can't tell you how terrible that makes you feel. We shouted across at him until the sun started going down, and then the hyenas started calling.
When the sun went down, we all decided not to call to Alistair. If he had called back to us, it would have just alerted any predator within range that Alistair was there.
Night is the most dangerous time in the African bush. It's the time when predators come out to hunt for food. Leopards, lions, and hyenas can detect the scent of blood from several miles away.
I could hear the lions calling and the hyenas, but when they stop, you don't know where they are, because you don't know if they come in your direction or going away. I thought I could be in for a tough night. I just got these stones together so that if something did come up that night, I could at least throw a rock at it.
But a handful of rocks is little protection against a hungry lion or hyena. Hyenas hunt in packs and can take down the largest of prey. Their jaws are formidable, capable of crushing and devouring the bones, even the teeth of their prey.
When it got really dark, the wind picked up and it really got cold. I was absolutely freezing and my teeth were chattering and I just couldn't get warm.
It was extremely cold and we were really, really worried whether we were going to make it through that night. All of us were unsure of what may happen before first light.
Let's get in a ring.
As well as the cold, night heightens the fear of unseen dangers lurking in the river.
Keep a lookout on all sides.
We were straining to see into the water, and all the time you're thinking about crocodiles.
What's that?
What? Oh my God, it's coming closer. It's still coming.
Bloody cross.
In the tiny bit of light that there was, the vegetation that was coming down, branches, clumps of reeds, all of them looked like a potential crocodile.
We were all very vulnerable, and yet the worst thing was not knowing what had happened to Alistair or if he was going to make it till the morning. The hyenas started coming closer, the lions moved closer. We were just worried that they would pick up the blood trail and by the morning, Alistair would be no more.
I heard grazing. And I looked up and I saw the buffalo. I was looking right at it. It looked at me.
Even crocodiles can be taken down by the strength of a Cape buffalo that can weigh as much as a small car. They are one of the most unpredictable and dangerous animals in Africa and are prized by hunters as they appear to have no natural predators but man.
If you get into their danger zone or they're wounded or sick, buffaloes are really pretty dangerous. Kill a lot of people every year.
Alistair, hurt, bleeding and growing weaker, has nowhere to hide. After being attacked by a crocodile, Alistair is crippled by his injuries and can barely move. He is now facing another of Africa's great killers, the Cape buffalo.
For some reason, it came and lay down like 10 yards away. I just can't believe it happened. It's just so totally abnormal behavior. Normally, they'd never do anything like that if they're a human being around. It was just like a little sentry lying there, big sentry.
Alistair finds some temporary comfort from the buffalo's strange behavior. But the worst thing he could do now is to fall asleep. If he slips into unconsciousness with wounds this serious, his body could shut down and he would be dead by morning. But Alistair has lost a lot of blood. He is exhausted and just can't keep himself awake. Meanwhile, in the freezing darkness, the others are filled with dread.
The darkness all around us just seemed to make you realize just how vulnerable you were in that great vastness. You were a nothing and things were just out of your control.
It passed everybody's mind that there's a good chance that we may not make it till the morning, especially in Faye's case. She was worried that she may never ever see her kids again.
What's that?
It was like a slapping sound. Arthur said that is a crocodile slapping its tail, and it's not far from here.
You could distinctly see it was a crocodile. Suddenly everything is awake, your ears, your eyes.
Wait, not yet.
When something is coming directly to you, you fear the worst.
Wait, not yet.
As we hit the water with the paddle, it veered off into the mainstream.
We were on tenterhooks after that, looking around in case another crocodile did come by.
Everyone on the sandbank has made it through the night.
When the daylight finally came, it was just such a sense of relief because then we could see properly.
Alistair!
But they have no idea if Alistair is even still alive.
Just pain, just like needles all over the place, especially on my arm. I didn't realize what it was at first until I managed to sit up. And I realized there were ants biting me.
The swarm of driver ants is feeding on Alistair's flesh. Driver ants are one of the most vicious insects in the world. Driver ants have specially developed mandibles that can slice through their victim's flesh. They bite with such force that if you pull the body away, their jaws will remain embedded in the skin. The swarm can number up to 100,000. They are the only insect known to have killed and consumed human beings. After a terrifying night alone in the bush, their bites trigger a surge of adrenaline through his body, which has probably saved his life. Desperate to escape the vicious swarm, he uses every ounce of his remaining strength to force himself to move on.
It was tough going. I couldn't stand up. I had to walk sort of bent over, using my left arm on my knee to try and keep support.
Alistair knows he's the only one who can find help for the others. But 24 hours after the crocodile attack, his massive injuries are taking their toll, both physically and mentally. He's lost a lot of blood, he's weak, and he's disoriented. Suddenly, he hears something.
I heard a boat, and I was far from the river. I thought I'd never get down to the river in time.
Help! Hey! 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 Hey!
But when he gets to the river, there's nothing there. He has no idea if he was hallucinating or if the sound was real.
There must have been an aeroplane or something, because it definitely wasn't a boat.
Alistair's last great effort to find help has brought him close to death. On the sandbank, the others are alive, but lost in despair. Eventually, Alistair drifts back into consciousness. He can't believe his eyes. There's a couple across the river, but he's too weak to attract their attention.
I thought, surely they're gonna come across. I tried to shout. Couldn't get it out. They started to move off.
On the sandbank, the group's hope of survival is fading. Miraculously, despite the Easter holiday weekend being over, there were still some vacationers out on the river.
They'd seen us, and they thought, well, what strange people fishing in the middle of the river.
Over here!
Over here! Over here!
I can't tell you how that felt, really. I mean, it was just a sense of relief. It was also still worry for Alistair. We hadn't heard from Alistair for several hours.
Luckily, the couple across the river finally spotted Alistair on their way back home. They took him to safety, where he was reunited with the others. Amazingly, surgeons were able to save Alistair's arm. He and Arthur still take regular fishing trips together on that same stretch of the Zambezi.
Mr. and Mrs. Kelly won't go fishing with us anymore, but
I always feel anxious when I get in a boat, even now, after all these years. It's just such a terrible experience. But we all survived, all five of us.